believe I got Happy New Year today? It's February.
I once got Happy New Year in March.
Disgusting.
It's pathetic. And this shit ain't ever gonna change. It ain't ever gonna change. It ain't ever gonna change.
Everyone, welcome to Holy Commutes for Monday, January 10th, 2022. Kicking off the abbreviated January season here of the new season of Holy Commutes, first of 2022. So Happy New Year to everyone. I guess you can still say Happy New Year, right? Like, I mean, I think this next week's the last week. If you haven't seen any,
you're getting close to the edge.
Yeah, I think it's only if you haven't seen someone since the new year this next week. I think that's kind of my limit. Anything after that's just, you know, way too long.
I felt a little bit weird saying it to someone on the 4th of January. So
yeah,
everyone's different.
And it's just stupid to be going. I know both of us aren't, you know, big in terms of holidays. We're not big New Year's people. For me, I've never been a big New Year's resolution person. It kind of always seems, you know, pointless. If there's something you want to change, you know, you can do it anytime during the year. Just, you know, sort of forcing it into like a New Year, you know, ritual never really works. And we all end up usually, you know, failing in those resolutions anyway, because, you know, it's change is hard. And to stick with something that it is always just hard after you've, you know, gotten into a habit. And if any sort of change comes, comes trade-offs, comes having to give up stuff that you've gotten used to. So like that whole, you know, that whole concept of sort of forcing that into the new year always seemed weird to me. But that's kind of what I wanted to talk a little bit about today is, you know, we are entering a new calendar year, which means a new wiffle ball year is only 3 or 4 months away by the time where the April season starts. Wiffle ball will have started in a bunch of different places. So, just wanted to chat a little bit about, you know, where we are going into 2022 wiffle ball wise, you know, just wiffle ball in general, and, you know, talk a little bit about that concept of, you know, of change and, you know, kind of what that means going forward. I mean, I think, Tim, from our perspective, and I know we said this basically every year for the last 4 or 5 years, but I think we've said it because it's true. Wiffle ball is in a really good, spot going into 2022.
Yeah, wiffle ball hasn't been, you know, healthier. You know, it's continued to keep growing. I still think there's, you know, a tremendous, you know, a tremendous way to go to, you know, get even close to the ceiling. But in terms of health, in terms of, you know, the number of people playing, the number of teams that are playing, the number of leagues and tournaments, and just, you know, everything you're seeing on social media, it continues to grow and grow. And, you know, we're in a really good spot right now.
Yeah, I think in terms of player wise, in terms of talent, just in terms of overall talent level, I do think we're at a, you know, I always hesitate to compare anything to the past because I know, you know, nostalgia is a thing, and we all have our errors and our moments that we remember really fondly. So I don't even think you need to compare this to the past. I think it stands on its own. The amount of talent out here is pretty ridiculous. I was talking to someone the other day, who, you know, said that, I won't say his name just, because I don't know if he, you know, wants this out here or not, but you can probably guess who I'm talking about. Who told me that, you know, he thinks now, you know, there is the most talent he's ever seen. And he's been around wiffle ball for, you know, a long, long time, you know, 20 plus years like us. You know, and he said, I wouldn't have said that 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, I think that that's sort of a common thing that I'm starting to hear a lot. You know, in general, there's just so many good players. I'm working on the Drop 100 right now for 2021. And again, this is something I think I say every year. I think we say every year, or I say every year while working on the Drop 100, but the incremental, upward movement year after year in terms of not just the overall not just like the top end talent level, but the overall sort of talent level and the more people that are playing in different places, it keeps growing. And it's hit a thing here in 2021 where, like, you know, I could easily write about 150 players for this list that all played in a, you know, full-time fast pitch, you know, league and at least one of the major national tournaments, and they all played well. And they all, there's something interesting to say about each and every one of them. And that's like, that's really cool. Like that didn't exist. And that just shows you sort of how things are moving and progressing.
Yeah. And then that's what people want, you know, to be able to play new players and, you know, see this next crop of, you know, new talent and see a guy come out who, you know, has been playing in his backyard for 15 years, but hasn't, you know, just for whatever reason, doesn't know about this and, you know, gets out to a, you know, joins a league or, you know, gets out to a tournament. And it's like, oh my God, this guy, you know, where did he come from? And all of that, you know, tremendously exciting when you've got, you know, more than, you know, 5 or 6 dozen, you know, people who are, you know, who are considered to be, you know, good players.
Yeah, it's expanded rapidly, and it's only going to continue to do that. And, like, you know, to go back to the Drop 100, you know, again, like working on that, and, you know, and looking at, you know, some guys that I, you know, that I was kind of following all summer long, and, you know, then writing about them, like you see, like, guys coming out of their backyard and stuff. Like, we don't even realize, like, there's, you know, yeah, I picked, you know, a few guys that have caught my eye, but, you know, that are sort of, you know, backyardish, you know, type players, or, you know, maybe smaller, you know, local, you know, younger high schoolish college leagues. And, but there's just so many of those guys. And, you know, and that's just, I think that's just the beginning of a wave that we're really, you and I have talked about this, Tim, that I think we're really going to see here soon. And I think we're going to start to see the first parts of that in 2022, is there's a wave of players that is coming through that, most likely, you know, we never know how stuff is going to turn out. We haven't seen before in wiffle ball in terms of the volume of them, and in terms of them already being, already knowing what wiffle ball is, what competitive wiffle ball is, and having, you know, grown up watching it and practicing. And that's, you know, that's because of MLW. But, I mean, you know, it's completely because of MLW, but we've got, you know, the kids, you know, high school age now, kids that were sort of in the first wave of MLW inspired players that are now, you know, in college and stuff, and, you know, ready to, you know, potentially ready to, you know, compete at a really high level right away. This wave is coming through, you know, and it's going to be a great, great thing for the game if we all sort of embrace it and, you know, do what we can to, you know, to bring these players in. And that's really, really exciting.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing people, you know, tend to forget from, you know, 20, 25 years ago is, you know, unless you were, you know, formed as a super team, and there were, you know, there were super teams, but for the most part, a lot of teams were just, they were composed of one really good player, and then, you know, maybe two or three enthusiastic players who weren't as good. And then if you needed a fourth or a fifth, you just tried to wrangle someone up. And, you know, with the influx of talent that you're seeing now, there aren't super teams. It's just every team has, you know, three or four really good players on it.
No, that's a really good point. And I was thinking about this the other day. What you just said is, like, it's, I was thinking about it in terms of MAW, because our worry every single year, you know, me and you, Tim, or not, I don't know if it's a worry, but, like, something that's, you know, been on our radar every single new MAW season is, you know, consolidation of teams, consolidation of the good, you know, top level players onto, you know, a fewer number of teams and how that affects, how that could ultimately impact, you know, MAW. And that also obviously goes to United Wolf when it goes to, you know, any league or any tournament that doesn't have, you know, that isn't a draft format that allows players to choose their teams. And the reason that's always on our minds is because that's always been a big talking point, you know, for years and years. Okay, well, you know, you start a team, like you just said, with your friends and stuff, and then, you know, maybe you're really good, or maybe you and one of your teammates are really good and the other three are, you know, whatever. And then they kind of fade out. Then you join another, then you join up with a player from another team that was in a similar situation. Then you get a player from another team that was also in a similar situation. Everything kind of gets smaller. What we've seen in, what I think we've seen in MAW, you know, over these past 5 years is like, you know, we've had you know, guys joining up on different teams, but it hasn't stopped the expansion, and it hasn't made a, it hasn't shifted the competitive balance, you know, which is a thing I think that people are always worried about when they're putting together leagues, because for what you just said, the amount of good players is so much higher than it was in the past. It's like, you can have a thing, you know, where some of these guys, you know, join up, you know, like just, you can look at the evolution of Earl over the past, you know, 5 years. And, you know, if I would have told you that 5 years ago, this is how it's going to go, you'd be, you know, I think we would all say, oh, well, that's not the best thing for MAW, but it's been completely fine. And I would say it's been good in a lot of other ways, you know, and other teams have followed suit. And, you know, it keeps us on our toes. You know, we need to try to get more and more teams in, and we're, you know, we think we've got a pretty good beat on that this year. But yeah, long-winded way of saying I totally agree with that point. And I think that there are so many good players out there that, like, now you can have, you know, you don't need to necessarily put these strict systems in place that, you know, us and others maybe felt you needed to, you know, years ago, in order to solve that problem, because there just are so many good players.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes this can happen organically. And I think, like, Earl's a team, I think most of the MAW teams that, you know, could have been considered, you know, a super team at one point or the other, you know, I think it came together more organically. And I think we've seen that, like you said, the competitive balance hasn't shifted. There's still, you know, the New School Risers made a Final Four in, you know, 2021, you know, yeah, a lot of that behind Cap being, you know, such a great player, but there is some parity still. And that's, you know, that along with, you know, us and, you know, like you said before, you know, we've spent a good portion of this offseason trying to find new teams and new players and new avenues to get new people to MAW, so that, you know, as players do, you know, go on to the next stage in their life, or, you know, there's a little consolidation, we're ready to, you know, fight that off and be able to keep growing, you know, in a healthy way.
Yeah. And that sort of goes back to the whole sort of, you know, new year, you know, trying to make improvements type of thing. Is, you know, I think that's a real sort of important thing. And I think so many people around the sport understand that, you know, that you always have to be looking one or two steps ahead. It's, you know, the thing, like, with, you know, with football, when we're talking about this high level, it's way different than a, you know, personal resolution, you know, where it just generally just, you know, impacts you, generally speaking. You know, this is when you're talking about, like, you know, how to shape football going forward, it impacts a lot of people. And, you know, and I know that can be difficult on some people that, you know, just one are comfortable with the way things are, comfortable with the way things were, comfortable with, you know, how different things have been. You know, we just hope everyone understands that, you know, there's so many people out there that are trying to make these decisions to, you know, to make the game as good as it can be right now, but also to prepare, you know, for the future and not get caught flat-footed. You know, like, you know, if MAW are big, you know, worried the entire time, we just, you know, you get a good group of guys in a certain age, and you know people are going to age out. You know, we all do. Now, you know, there's some players that just play straight through for 20 years. Their playing time may change a little bit, but they just play through. But they're the rare breed. Most of us, you know, you and I did it, Tim. Most of us take some time off. You know, life events come up, and you do that. And you know, you don't want to be caught flat-footed when that happens. And you just want to ride the wave. You know, so and I know, you know, like there's a lot of leagues that are very cognizant of that. You know, Kalamazoo is doing a really, really great job bringing in new players over the past few years. And I think, you know, they're continuing that this season. They've got at least a couple new, fully new teams that they expect this year. And, you know, I think they got one of like all former college baseball players, you know, doing stuff like that. Circle City's been very good at that. You know, just speaking to Circle City, this stuff also happens at the local league level. Circle City this year, going into 2022, they blew up all their rosters. They're taking a very different approach to the team building, you know, next year. They're kind of starting from scratch, and that's all very exciting. I don't know exactly what the reasoning, you know, was for all that, but they identified some issues where they felt they needed to do this. This was best for their league, and they're doing it. And it seems like they've got a lot of buy-in on that. And that's really cool, you know, because, like I said, there's a lot of guys out there, you know, they're running stuff that all have, you know, everyone's best interest in their heart. And, you know, a lot of that is going to evolve over, you know, different times. You know, these drastic changes, like just blowing up all the rosters, but you know, it's exciting, and it's all done for positive reasons. It's not done for any, you know, reason other than that.
Yeah, no, if you want to grow and, you know, truly grow, you can't be afraid to stumble or even fail, you know, at certain points. And you know, the Circle City thing is a real good example of, you know, they've taken the information they have and, you know, got buy-in, but also, you know, have said, you know, this is what we think we need to do. And I'm sure if it doesn't work out, they'll be ready to, you know, figure out what that next step is. And that's, you know, not being afraid of, you know, challenging yourself and, you know, maybe doing something that is different, but is only different in the short run because it's new and eventually just becomes regular. I mean, that's how things happen in real life. Something new eventually becomes, you know, something normal.
Yeah, and if it's well thought out, and the benefits of, you know, of that new thing, you know, if it's well thought out and you've thought out the benefits, you know, versus the risk of, you know, doing whatever this new thing is, you know, in your life or wiffle ball or whatever, and you've put in that time and that work to think of, you know, yeah, it's worth it, and it will become the new commonplace thing. That's the toughest thing, and I think, you know. I think, you know, by and large, most wiffle ball players, you know, realize that, yeah, like to, you know, to grow and change, you know, it takes some risk. It means, you know, taking some risk. It means, doing stuff that hasn't been done in the past, in order to take that step forward. And, you know, like I said, like, as long as it's well reasoned, you know, and I, it's, you know, it's a good thing to do. You know, we all sort of get, it's, you know, nobody likes change. I mean, I've spent years at, you know, jobs that I haven't liked just because, you know, I didn't want to change. I've gotten a lot better at that, you know, later, you know, in recent years. But like, you know, like, but we get that, but like, you know, it's also asking, okay, like, why are you doing the change? Like, you hear all the time, oh, well, this isn't the way stuff is done. You know, and or has been done in the past. And it's like, well, you know, well, what does that mean? Was the way it was done in the past, was that good or bad? You hear it a lot now with like COVID. Like, I was reading someone the other day on Twitter was like, pre-COVID, you know, no one was, you know, if you had a, you know, a sore throat and a runny nose, you weren't, you know, staying home or you weren't running to the doctor, you know, you're just living your normal life, you know, we need to, you know, start getting back to that. It's like, well, hold on. Like, is that a good thing? Is that a good thing that people were going, you know, to work and to school and to activity sick and getting other people, you know, sick, even just with a cold or whatever, you know, like, no, like we should in our rush to get back, yeah. You know, we all talk about, well, we want to get back to our normal lives and we do, but you know, we should, you also need to think, okay, well, was this stuff good beforehand? Just because it was happening beforehand doesn't mean it was the right thing. And I think there's a lot of that in wiffle ball where, you know, oh, well, this is just the way it was done. Well, you know, was that a good thing, you know, or are we in a better space now, you know, in general? So, you know, should we be looking, you know, backwards or should we be looking forwards? And, you know, there's a lot of smart, you know, people out there that are doing that. And, you know, we've seen the fruits of that over the last few years. I think we're just going to continue to see it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And if you're not looking forward, if you're always looking in the rear view, or looking backwards, you know, other than to, you know, learn from what's happened before you, eventually things are going to stall out.
And that's something I'm real excited for. Like, you know, we talked about this new wave of players coming through too. There's also, you know, a new generation of I wouldn't say wiffle ball organizers, but that, I don't know, that sounds kind of dumb to me, but like, you know, people that are going to put together leagues and tournaments and have big ideas. And, you know, that's really exciting, you know, to me to get that, you know, to get that fresh perspective. And I know you and I, Tim, have talked a lot about this, about, you know, both of MAW and specifically with UW wanting to bring in, you know, younger, fresher perspectives. And, you know, do some, you know, forward thinking and planning, because, you know, we're not going to be doing this, you know, forever. But getting that, you know, getting those guys in now, because there's, you know, that's going to happen too. When it's already happening at a local level. We've got these, you know, kids that were inspired by MLW that have their own leagues now, have had their own leagues for a while. There's a couple out there that, you know, I really watched a lot this summer that have been going on for like 8 or 9 years. And, you know, so those guys already have that experience of doing it at the local level. And, you know, it's exciting that, you know, just by odds, a few of them are going to, you know, start doing bigger and bigger things. You know, a whole lot of them are going to drop off the face of the earth because there is an attrition rate to this, you know, but, you know, some of them are going to make it through. And I can't wait for those, you know, those next generation of guys to come through, both player wise and, you know, organizing wise.
Yeah. And like you said, they're here, and it can only help. And, you know, like you're seeing in a lot of other industries, but, you know, specifically in sports, you know, baseball is becoming a younger game, both on the field and, you know, in front offices and stuff. And, you know, that's helping up the quality of play. That's helping make players, you know, better, who, you know, may have just been left behind in the past. Yep. And, you know, we want that same thing for wiffle ball. And, like, you know, even, you know, as we sit here today, you know, we're on the, you know, we're definitely on the older end of this. And, you know, what we, you know, we still have a decent, you know, ear to the ground in terms of, you know, what's going on, but no, do we know how to, you know, how to relate to today's 16 to 18 year olds, you know, yes, from a human perspective, but right. To, you know, get them out there to play and to buy into our, you know, our idea of wiffle, you know, I guess it really depends, you know, the answer is not always that's for sure.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it sounds lame or whatever, but like, that's, you know, that's the reason why, just to kind of bring this all full circle, is, you know, one of the big reasons why we are in such a good spot, wiffle ball in general, is that there is so many different people with different perspectives out there putting on stuff. And that's only going to grow in 2022. And I encourage anyone that, like, you know, is, you know, whatever their situation is, it's like, oh, there's not a lot of wiffle ball by me. There's not the kind of wiffle ball I want by me. You know, I got to travel here in order to get this. I got to travel here in order to get that. You know, I know every, you know, not everyone wants to, you know, run stuff, but like, you know, the great thing about wiffle ball is anyone can pick up and form their own league or do their own tournaments if they want. And, you know, I, you know, encourage people to, you know, to try that out. If like, that's, you know, if you're like, hey, I'm not being served by this or this, you know, then, you know, by all means, you know, try to do something on your own, or try to, yeah, at least try to find guys that, you know, maybe have that, you know, that desire and that aptitude to be able to run stuff. You know, because that'll just help, you know, grow and everything like it is. It was like, back to your point, Tim, because, you know, yeah, like there's stuff that, you know, because we're getting a little bit older and just because our viewpoints and experiences are different, there's going to be, you know, our blind spots, just like, you know, Circle City is gonna have their blind spots, or, you know, Tim Dean running in Texas is gonna have his blind spots, or whatever, you know, whatever it is. So the more and more people that are doing stuff, and the more people that are out there affording guys opportunities to play, the more likely we are, the wider net we cast, the more likely we are to, you know, to capture this upcoming wave. And that's really important.
Yeah. You want as many, the more people, the more chance of success, and the more chance of, yeah, getting players out of there. We talked, you know, sometimes when I'm talking to someone and I say, man, if we can just get, you know, if we have four new teams play and we're able to just retain one of them, you know, that's good, because that's what wiffle ball is, right? You know, that's what wiffle ball is. You're always just looking to, you know, retain. As we, you know, as things keep getting better, I hope, you know, one day we're not saying that. We're, you know, it's like that influx, you know, is there. And it like that, it's all, you know, it is across the country. And, you know, the one thing I will say too about the, you know, organizing is different than playing. But I think if you are a player and you do some organizing, because we've been on both sides, we've done the player organizing and then we've done the organizing without playing.
And we've done three things. We've done the playing while organizing, just the playing, and then the organizing. So I think it's really three different things, you know?
No, you're right. That's a good distinction. When you do that, you're able to gain different perspectives and understand, you know, what necessarily may work for you as a player, you know, doesn't necessarily work for the greater good.
And the best example we can give of that, I think, is, you know, the 4-2 count in MAW, you know, where, you know, when we started MAW, from a player perspective, you know, I think all me and you and Shirey, we all preferred 4-3, you know, you very much, you know, came up as a baseball hitter. You've got a good eye. I have, you know, drawing walks and making pitchers work was, you know, my only sort of offensive, and, you know, having a good understanding of the strike zone and how pitches move was, you know, basically my only offensive value. So I preferred the three strikes, because that, you know, made it more likely that I could work a walk. But we realized, we took an educated guess that 4-2 would be better, because it would allow us, you know, to get in some more pitchers that, you know, are just starting out and they wouldn't do walkathons. And that was the case. Then we always thought down the line we were going to change it, that, you know, just naturally it was going to have to go to 4-3. When, you know, we've asked every year, and it's been, you know, no, I'll keep it 4-2 from both a hitter's perspective and a pitcher's perspective. I know, you know, there's always people that don't like that. You know, we still agree that like 4-3, you know, would sort of be the thing, but you don't try to pigeonhole stuff. And yeah, like, do your thing. You see those, you can see that stuff in that different perspective. You can see, hey, this, you know, I think a big part of growth and sort of, you know, what the changes are you took that work and don't work is actually paying attention to the results. You know, rather than just sort of philosophies. You know, if we just had our philosophy, we would have switched to 4-3. We would have started with 4-3, but 4-2 worked. It got the feedback that it worked. You know, if teams are coming out to tournaments and and having a good time, then, you know, a lot of what is being done is working. You know, it may not be your ideal thing of wiffle ball, but, you know, you have to go with the results and it's working. And I think you get to see that more when you organize, because you realize, okay, yeah, it's not just what I want. It's what's working or doesn't work.
Yeah. And in the end, you know, what's there for the greater good? What's that best path?
Yeah. Yeah. It's always about trying to, all this stuff is compromises. And all of us, yeah, that's a great thing about wiffle ball. If, you know, you took 500 wiffle ball players, you probably have 500 different ideas of what the ideal wiffle ball setup, you know, and scene looks like. And that's great, you know, so, but anything that's out there is going to be a amalgamation of all that stuff. And as long as the focus is on the greater good, which, you know, again, I think you can look at all these leagues that are succeeding and all these tournaments that are succeeding out there. And obviously, since they're succeeding, they're probably meeting that, you know, that idea of trying to do to the greater good. And that's what it's all about. And it's going to become more challenging as this wave comes and as stuff continues to grow. It's going to become more challenging for all of us. But that's a great thing. That's, you know, it's a challenge because stuff is growing. It's not a challenge because people are fucking around, and, you know, and I hope people, you know, realize that. So we have two more weeks here in January. Just like I said, it's abbreviated thing. We got a couple ideas, a couple neat ideas for some interviews, maybe these next couple of weeks. So we'll try to shore those up, because if we can do that, I think we'll have a couple pretty cool shows. If not, you know, we'll find something to chat about. I believe Tim Dean's back tomorrow with his Tuesday shows for this month. And then, you know, all week, the normal cast and crew will be back on Holy Commute with their shows for the rest of January. And then after that, before you know, it'll be April. It'll be wiffle ball season. It'll be a new season of Holy Commute. So till next Monday, this is Paul and Tim. We'll see you then.